Welcome to the Wild Heart Meditation Center podcast. It is our intention to continue offering these audio recordings free of charge. However, if you would like to donate to support our cause and keeping our facility open in Nashville, you can do so via the Venmo app by sending a donation to @WildHeartNashville, or you can find us online at our website, wildheartmeditationcenter.org, and click the Donate tab.
Good morning. I guess you're not allowed to say good morning back to me, huh? Is that a thing? I guess. Thanks for following the rules. This is awesome. You know, love looking up and seeing the crew, seeing the Sangha doing the work, and we're jumping right into it. So this is the first instruction. We're starting at the beginning of this mindfulness. I don't know if it happened to you, but I woke up this morning. I didn't know where I was at. And then, oh, I remembered. I'm on retreat. I'm at Heartwood. Oh, yeah. And it's that moment of mindfulness. I remember where I'm at. And so this is this word sati. Sati often is what we consider mindfulness, sati, but it's more directly translated to remember. And so the discourse on mindfulness, the Satipatthana Sutta, is translated to mean to remember the ground. And so I wake up and I remember. These are these moments of awakening. That we remember where we're at. Oh yeah. I'm in the meditation hall. Oh yeah. I'm breathing. I remember. So it's these little moments of nibbana that add up. And so the Satipatthana is considered the direct path to liberation. To overcome sorrow, grief, lamentation, despair, and suffering. And so this quality of remembering is not to be taken lightly. This quality of remembering will lead us away from suffering and towards liberation. And so I want to lean on these teachings that have been passed down to us through our lineages, through our past, and really spend some time with this lesson of the Satipatthana and how it's set up for us. What are our instructions? Where do we start? And this discourse goes into, first we find a place suitable for meditation. We go to a root of a tree or an empty hut. And we have our empty hut here. I don't know where you're at. I know the first time I came here, my heart wasn't completely trusting. But now, over time, I kept on waking up here, and now I have a home here. So hopefully, wherever you're at, hopefully let your heart soften a little bit to find a home here. And allow yourself to be supported by this empty hut, by this sangha, by this retreat center. That is here for this. You know, there's not a lot of places, it seems like, right now that are set up for this higher happiness, for this liberation, for setting aside sorrow, lamentation, desire, discontent. So what a beautiful place to find ourselves in. What a beautiful place to wake up this morning. And so put some trust a little bit at a time. I don't always have the most trusting heart, and that's okay. I train my heart to trust a little bit. So maybe train your heart to trust where you're at right now, and trust that this is here for this practice, and trust in this practice, and the work that went into this. You just ate breakfast, that this is a place for your support, that people live here for your liberation. They practice their generosity to build this place up. When I first came here, it did not look like this. Every time I come back, there's something more of an offering for the support in your practice. So maybe give up a little bit and trust. Trust in the schedule, the work that's been laid out for you. What do you need to do? Okay, do what's on the schedule. And just trust. It's really like a suggestion just to get out of your own way and let this place take care of you. And so these are the first instructions on Satipatthana. Go find a place suitable for meditation. And now that we're in a place suitable for meditation, really take it in. And so therefore we move on in this instructions on mindfulness to look at our postures. So when we bring mindfulness in, it's not just when we're sitting cross-legged. That is a part of it. But in all tasks, when you're eating, be mindful. Like I said, one, mindful of the people serving your food that are living this life because they have faith that passing this on is a noble practice. When you're, what do they say, with the sitting, standing, walking and lying down. So right now we're going to be focusing on the sitting, but when you're done with the sitting, it doesn't give you permission to throw away the mindfulness. Keep it going. Mindfulness in every moment, in every posture. So here we're talking about the sitting posture. Later on I'll get more specific about how to sit physically. But for now, it's just looking at what moment we find ourselves in. What do we remember we're at? Oh, remember we're sitting. Know that you're sitting. And so when we find ourselves in this sitting posture, it may be new for some of you to spend an extended amount of time sitting cross-legged on the floor. And so be gentle with yourself and be, sensible with yourself too. Sometimes we can become disembodied and ignore pain and think, oh, I'm sitting, the whole 30, 45 minutes without moving. I'm doing great. But then we're disembodied. We're not focusing on what's actually happening in the body. And that is not the goal of this practice. If there is pain, on one end, don't be reactive towards pain. It's okay to have a little bit of pain in your body. We want to get to a space where we're tolerant of pain, but we also don't want to create harm too. And so if you need to shift, move. If you need to adjust your posture, that's fine. Another thing, if you need to stand up, that's totally cool too. So if we're all sitting here and your body's in pain or you're falling asleep, standing meditation time. It's totally reasonable just in the middle of the sit to just stand up for a good 5-10 minutes just so you can just experience your body. And as you do shift and move, feel what pain is in the body and at what relief from pain is in the body. We can change our relationship to pain a little bit over time, but I'll get into that tomorrow. But one thing is just be kind with your body in whatever way that looks, and be diligent. Don't be reactive to pain. Find that evenness. It's a balancing game, and normally day one in meditation on a retreat, that is a good amount of that. So next, we can look at this aspect of attention. So in any given moment, attention is available. And what we want to do in this practice is developing a choice of attention. And for me, just to be fully transparent, I don't like this word attention. but I can't think of a better word. You know, I'm used to some, you know, being in school and not paying attention and then somebody yelling at me, pay attention, like that was going to work. And so even checking in what that word attention may have some connotations to it, because I feel like, you know, culturally we may be very confused on even how to pay attention. And so this is the training. We're learning how to pay attention. And from my experience, yelling at ourselves or acting like, you know, some of the people that previously taught me how to pay attention doesn't really work. So we want to be patient with our attention. So our attention spills all over. You know, we're lost in thought, we're planning, we're judging. We're not here to think. I give you full permission to not think for the next couple days. Sound like a good idea? You down? Great. So we set out to do the impossible. That I don't know if it's even possible to not think. So this is the dilemma we're in. We set out to do the impossible, to not think. But once we even set out to do the impossible, we could see that a lot of thoughts get us into a lot of trouble. All the anxious, planning thoughts, all the stressful thoughts, demanding thoughts, resentful thoughts, all these thoughts of suffering. So we can actually set out to get some space from these thoughts right now. It's okay. You know, this is the challenge that we set out to do. These thoughts helped us in a lot of ways. It helped us get away from some of the intolerable moments we find ourselves in that we don't have the skills yet to develop a way to be with them. So our thoughts trickle us off away from the present moment because this present moment is too painful, too exciting, too boring, whatever this is too much of. Yeah, the thoughts have helped us. And so we incline this mind to think over and over and over again, which gets us into trouble, into anxiety, depression, stress. And so can we find this moment to rest in? And this is what the awareness is, that we have this wonderful ability to, right now, remember that attention is available to us in any moment we remember. In these little moments. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, we wake up. Oh yeah, it's available. And so this is what we learn from this direct experience of remembering, of sati, of remembering that this is available to us anytime we need it. When the unbearable mind shows up, oh yeah, this is available to me. When the depressive thoughts show up, oh yeah, this is available to me. And this becomes our friend. And so on the first foundation of what we are remembering, the first foundation of mindfulness of the Satipatthana Sutta, those of you that know Satipatthana, but in this section here, we will be covering this first foundation that is mindfulness of breath, body, and sensation. So where are we training to put our attention? We have the breath. And I'm just going to go ahead and read what the Buddha instructed all those years ago and passed down to us. Here gone to the forest or to a root of a tree or to an empty hut, one sits down having folded their legs crosswise, set their body erect, and establish mindfulness in front of them. Mindful, one breathes in. Mindful, one breathes out. Breathing in long, one knows I breathe in long. Breathing out long, one knows I breathe out long. Breathing in short, one knows breathe out breathe in short, breathe out short. So we come to a place of this acknowledgement of the breath. Very simple. Do you know that you're breathing right now? And so when we find this place of knowing what's actually happening in front of us, how do you know? How do you know that you're breathing right now? And it's through this attention. When we place the intention of the acknowledgement that we are breathing, this turns into mindfulness. And the more we train this attention to notice what is actually happening in front of us, available in this present time experience, this becomes a mindful moment and a moment of awakening. So how do you know that you're breathing? Is it in the nose, the throat, the mouth, the belly? And we're playing this wonderful game by wearing masks too. Like, I find myself wearing a mask occasionally when I sit, because I, you know, go to places where others sit and we try to remain respectful. And for me, it may be different for you, when I breathe with a mask on, the breath is a little louder. So it's almost easier to have mindfulness of breathing with a mask on for me. And 100% honest, sometimes it does feel restricted too. That like a claustrophobia type thing in my mouth. That, oh no, I don't have enough breath. Oh no, I don't have enough breath. And that's interesting to note too. So looking at what it's like to breathe with a mask on may be interesting. And it may be helpful. And so I'm going to look at this as, you know, mindfulness of breathing, but what we really want to do, like as I look at this whole foundation where I talk about breath, body, and sensations too, we have all these things happening automatically in the present time experience. We have hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching. We have all these aspects of the body, all these activities of the body. So what I'm inviting you to do, one, I'm going to use the instructions on the breath and try the breath. See what happens with the breath. And if the breath is not suitable, don't give up. I just heard that bird chirp. That was nice. The arising and passing of sound. So in that mindful moment of sound, something grabbed my attention. I rested in this present time experience by noting that's a sound. So this is the instructions of anything but thinking. We want to find an anchor to the present time experience. So this anchor is what we come back to over and over. In the next 30 minutes, you may need to come back thousands of times, and that's okay. And so while I use the example, the breath, feel free to use anything but thinking as your anchor to the present time experience to come back to. So this breath that moves, it is actually quite entertaining compared to some of the other things happening in the body. It rises and passes. It moves. And I have a certain friendliness with my breath. Sometimes I call it my old friend, the breath, my old pal that's always been there for me and always will be there for me as long as I'm alive. We've been through so much, me and the breath. Every memory I've ever had has had a breath connected to it. Everything I will accomplish in my life will have that old friend, the breath, there to support me. All the successes and the setbacks have all had that old friend, the breath, there to support me along those celebrations and sadness. All the gain, all the loss, there's my breath. It's right there. It's like, oh, that old friend. friend that's always there. Remember that time we went to Heartwood and went on retreat? So you're taking this breath with you. Everywhere you go, there you are. And it's more like the breath is taking you with it. So when we focus on the breath, we don't even have to chase it. It just, you know, sometimes we just sit down and let the breath come to us. And this is where we shift some of our energy in this. You know, there's the analogy that we talk about human beings, but really we're these human doings. So we want to shift this to human beings. Just let this be. Let yourself be taken care of. When I talk about let this place, let this retreat center, let these people take care of you, let this body take care of you too. It's automatically happening. The sounds, it's automatically happening. The sight, automatically happening. The breath, automatically happening. You are being taken care of right now. Let yourself be taken care of. And notice how you're being taken care of automatically. And this is where we shift from all the doing to the observing. So we want to be an observer of our experience. So we can just observe how things actually are, which will lead us to liberation. The more we fall into the observer rather than the doer. All that doing gets us into trouble. What am I supposed to be doing right now? Am I doing this right? I'm pretty sure I'm doing this wrong. And in that moment of where you're judging yourself on your meditation practice or judging yourself on your posture, I must be doing this wrong. You're being taken care of. You can't screw this up. Just observe experience. Just trust in this body that it's taken care of. And so this gift, this wonderful old friend, the breath, where most of my practice these days is mindfulness of breathing. And so I know there's like a certain attitude sometimes that arises that we believe like, yeah, mindfulness of breathing, but let's get to the real stuff. You never graduate from mindfulness of breathing, at least in Buddhist practices. This is something that is... It's important to me because I know our craving mind wants more. When's the compassion going to come in, or where's the, you know, the bliss of enlightenment? When is that going to happen? And we're always reaching for the next thing when the beauty's right in front of us. Don't miss it. This breath is a noble practice. There's a story of the Buddha that the Buddha was awakened and his Dharma was spreading far and wide, and his monks and nuns were going around teaching this Dharma, and there were some people saying, you know, hey, the Buddha, that guy's awake, huh? And does he meditate? And you're like, yeah. The Buddha, the awakened one, he meditates. They're like, why does he still meditate? If he's already awake, he probably shouldn't have any need to wake up or to meditate. He's already awake. And they're like, good question. So they go to the Buddha and ask him, why are you still meditating? Like, what do you do when you meditate? Which is cool. I think that's cool. Like, this is the Buddha's chance to say what he does during meditation. And he said, I dwell in mindfulness of breathing. It's a worthy practice. It's a noble practice. He even called it like a Brahma Vihara. Sometimes mindfulness of breathing is called the fifth Brahma Vihara. If you know the four Brahma Viharas of kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity, in this moment, he called it a Brahma Vihara. And from my experience, it is definitely that that heart in the breath, you know, that it guides you someplace if you let it guide you there. And so he even called it a pleasant abiding here and now. And so when we give up a little bit, when we let go a little bit of all the doing, and just start observing, a beautiful thing happens that it gives us a sense of calm. Not saying that you need to right now, but maybe this is a little bit of hopeful message. If you sit with your body still and upright, and you place the awareness on the breath or wherever your anchor seems suitable, over time, it does become a calm, pleasant abiding. The more space we get from all of the stress and anxiety and the suffering thoughts, what's left is quite beautiful. So, for this, you know, this first part of the day, I give you full permission to just have a delight in this mindfulness of breathing. This is okay to feel good. So as the sutta goes on, where we look at the breath, breathing in long, one knows that's a long breath. Breathing in short, one knows that's a short breath. And it continues where we observe the body. We include this body from the top of the head down to the feet. We look at these 32 anatomical parts, and we have this mindfulness of this body. And so when we incorporate this mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the breath, we also train in this calming aspect. This is the last instruction on this one section, that it's the calming of the bodily formation. And so how do we calm this bodily formation is by committing to the anchor. And so over time, the more you spend time with this anchor, it will calm the body. And if not, just keep trying. It's cool. There's no excuse to beat yourself up. And you have no way of doing this wrong. So give up on doing this right. I know I'm giving all these instructions, but really, it's where we become, when we see this for ourselves. So I can only give so much in these instructions. We need to sit down and see what is observable and see what happens for yourself. So when I talk about this breath, breathing in long, one knows, breathing long, breathing short. Those things are ways to observe how the breath works. Yeah, some breaths long, you just get done working meditation, your breath's going to be a little long. You start settling in, feeling nice and calm, your breath's going to be a little short. This is letting the breath live on its own terms. Just observe the breath, don't control the breath. I'm not asking you to breathe any certain way. And this is the more of the way of letting go and letting life show up on life's terms and surrendering just to observe experience as it is. And developing a sense of curiosity is helpful too. What is this breath like? Where am I feeling this breath? Is it the nose, the throat, mouth, the chest, the belly? And becoming curious. And the more curious we get, the more insight we get. Oh, the sound. Is that sound? What's that sound? Is it on the left side of me? Is that the right side of me? Is it close? Is it far? I noted a bird, but what is the texture of that sound? What's this arising and passing of sound? You know, and so we just start contemplating with curiosity something very simple, the anchor. And so get creative in seeing our contemplations with this single pointed anchor. And when we we develop a single pointedness in our anchor, something we look at is this word samadhi, which sometimes is translated as concentration. So we commit to a single point and we concentrate on that point. And we make that commitment and we just discover that commitment is pretty much impossible, but we just keep on setting out to do the impossible, just keep on coming back over and over and over again. And that word concentration is suitable, but there's really a deeper sense of samadhi when you get to know it, that it's a sense of stillness. So we develop over time committed to this practice of samadhi, committed to this practice of being with the anchor, committed to this practice of concentration, a stillness develops. And this is really what samadhi means, is stillness. You know, and famously, Ajahn Chah talks about the still forest pool. We develop the stillness in the mind and the body and the heart when we start becoming that shift of being the observer, and there's like a still that happens. And it's a beautiful still. So it's the still forest pool that he talks about, this still water that all these interesting creatures come to take a drink from. This. So out in the forest, a still forest pool, a deer comes and has a drink. A bug comes and lands on it. Something comes up from the bottom, swimming in it. So all these strange and interesting creatures come to take a drink from this pool, and they leave. And so this is our practice here. We sit and a sound arises, some stillness with the sound. A feeling in the body, some pain in the body arises, stillness with the pain. Some calm arises, stillness with the calm. A thought arises, stillness with the thought. All these interesting, strange creatures that arise in our internal experience, developing that samadhi and stillness in the middle of all these strange and interesting things happening. I just want to overview that. So this first aspect, rest into this environment, rest into the space around you, and then find yourself in your posture, sitting, standing, lying down, or walking. And one thing is, yeah, where I say if you need to stand up, but please no lying down in the meditation hall. We prefer that lying down meditation in your bedrooms. So find yourself in this upright posture and find this single pointedness. I suggest breath, and considering circumstances, I understand if you use sound. Sound is always a comforting one for me. The backs of my eyelids, if you sit with your eyes closed, it's nice to see the backs of the eyelids. That's a very wonderful anchor sometimes for me. Some lights arise, some images arise on the backs of the eyelids, and you see that arise and pass. Hands, feeling my hands touching can be a wonderful anchor, maybe more difficult anchor, but it has been a comforting anchor for me. You can feel the contact of your seat, feel your butt in the cushion. That's a nice anchor. So we have our options, but of all of these anchors, the breath just has that movement. It's more active, it's kind of louder. So that's where I suggest, but you don't have to follow the rules. Just understand what the lesson is. You find one point to come back to over and over again. And, very simple. Let's keep it very simple and see what happens. And you don't have to do it right. This is a discovery. So let's look into some postures. Andrew, you want to be the model for the posture since I have this in front of me? So we want to keep this upright spine. So this is an emphasis, and I have terrible posture, so don't use me as an example, or maybe use me as an example of how to be, you know, reasonable around this. But we want to have this upright posture, because like sometimes they say, upright posture leads to an upright mind. Too rigid posture leads to a too rigid mind. So we want to be delicate with this body, but we want to be that gentle assertiveness. We want to push ourselves, but we push ourselves with kindness with this body because we don't want to hurt ourselves. So something about an open chest is so confident, you know? Something about this practice that's noble, a confident chest. But be reasonable with this, too. And there's so much activity. We do mindfulness in front of us is in this instruction. So if you have an upright posture, you can actually feel the mindfulness in front of you. And you can feel the breath in front of you. And there's such a presence in front of you. And then we get to the cross-legged positions. And so we got the Burmese style here. This is the one I'm sitting in right now. Where you can you see that? We have one leg in front of the other. Very, very simple way to sit. Very comfortable way to sit for me. And I think that the one thing is that pain is unavoidable, but we're not chasing discomfort. The Buddha never chased it. Well, when he discovered his Dharma, he didn't chase discomfort. It's okay to relax and feel good when you sit down. So we have the Burmese style. What about the knees on the floor? This is one thing, too, that even in the Burmese style, you want to have your knees lower than your ass because it gives you, like, this tripod thing. Like but then, this. Yeah, and then we have this style of sitting that is suitable. How do you feel?
Good.
Yeah. Feels good. And then we have chairs in the back there, too. I don't know. Would it be suitable if they brought the chairs up for their spot, or we want them to sit back there? I don't know what the rules are right now.
Probably have them stay back there just so the people that are lower can see.
Yeah, so if you need to take a break and sit in the chair, those of you who are in the cushion, and those of you who are in chairs, it looks like all the cushions are full, but enjoy your time sitting in a chair. And then we have... the full lotus position. Go. there's full lotus here. You mind doing half lotus for us? We got a full lotus here. We got it. Yeah. So those people that take care of their bodies way more than me. Or did you do it?
No, it's half.
Kind of. But yeah. So we got a couple examples of that. I feel like those that are going to do lotus positions already know what that is. So I wouldn't, if you don't do a lotus position, then don't attempt it. But if you do, I hear it's awesome. I hear it's a great way to sit. So we're going to sit for, maybe about, how long are we here till?
11.
Yeah, we'll sit for about 30 minutes on this foundation, and then we'll leave time to cover walking meditation and maybe some time for a Q&A. So while we use this breath as the primary point of focus, this friend that guides us into this present time experience, we can expand our awareness to include the body, mindfulness of the breath and mindfulness of the body. Breathing in, breathing out, and just scanning through the body. This is starting with the top of the head. Just being gentle and patient with this body as it is. We have time. We set out this time for retreat. Let's take time with this. And just being with the details of the head, the brow, the eyes. Feeling into the nasal cavity, the nose. The tongue. The jaw. So as we sit here and breathe, observing the breath and observing the face, feeling into the throat, the shoulders, the arms, the hands, the fingertips, just pouring the awareness through this body. And as the mind spills all over to the thought that leads to the next thought and the next thought, remembering to come back to this present time experience, guided by this friend, the breath, embodying this experience directly with this mindfulness in front of us, feeling what's in front of us. As the breath rests in front of us, we have the front of the body, the chest, the heart, the belly, a vulnerable resting place for this mind. Resting the mind on the chest and the heart and a soft, gentle belly. Feeling the point of contact with your seat, the support of your seat. Scanning through your legs, all the way down to the feet and the toes. So this is the training. Every time the mind is lost, come back to the breath, come back to the body. As many times as you need. Not giving up on yourself, not punishing yourself. Giving yourself this time with patience.
Just finding the stillness that is available to us if we surrender to this breath, surrender to this body. This beautiful stillness. If we just commit. We can find this stillness as the whole world moves around us in the movement of the sound. Experiencing directly what it's like to hear sounds. Let those bring you to a place of stillness. Not so much what you're hearing, but what it's like to directly hear. The textures of the sounds, the movements of the sounds. Where in the body do you experience sound? Observing directly what hearing sounds are like. The activities in this body, even if your eyes are closed, directly experiencing sight, looking at the backs of the eyelids, finding stillness in directly experiencing sight, remembering that this sight is available to us. Finding stillness by waking up to the sense of touch, feeling the air on the skin, the clothes on the skin, the hands resting is sometimes a very comforting anchor. So exploring the anchor of touch. As the mind wanders, come back to the sense of touch. So as we explore all these options for an anchor, the breath, the body, sensations, just training in this process to find a home in anything but thinking. So just finding this commitment you can make for the rest of the day. What is a suitable anchor for you? And just committing to that one anchor for the rest of the day, whether it's the breath, whether it's sound, whether it's sight, whether it's touch, whether it's the heart space, the belly, the hands. Doesn't need to be correct or right, just this commitment. So just taking that time now to find a place you can commit to for the rest of the day.